Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. A few announcements I'll share with you as we begin. If you have your bulletin, just note there this insert. Boy, there's just a lot of information. Of course, we're really close to Easter, so there's a lot happening here. Just a reminder that the Lenten services will continue this evening at Sangerfield Church. I hope that you can come out to that. There'll be, of course, a soup and sandwich meal at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, you can hear me. I'll be sharing tonight on Simon of Cyrene. So I hope that you can come out and be a part of that service. Also note that on Easter here at church, first of all, there'll be a sunrise service at Natural Chimneys. That's at 7 o'clock. It's all the way back right there in front of the chimneys. You can't miss it, and the crowd will gather there. And I'll be sharing that morning message, so I hope that you come out to that as well. Also, they'll be having a sunrise or a Easter sunrise breakfast here. The youth are starting to work at putting the details of that together. You'll notice there's a little some information about that on the insert there. It starts at 9 o'clock, and of course, have all sorts of different foods that you can select from, and so I hope that you come. There will be a free will offering taken that will go towards the children's ministry here at Moscow. So the money you give will benefit the children. So I hope that you come and support them in the work that they're doing. Also, we will be having a feast service here. It will be on Palm Sunday following morning worship on April the 2nd. And so everyone is invited to participate, or even if you don't feel comfortable washing feet, you can observe. But we certainly would invite you to stay and be a part of that service as well. Another little piece of information, I'm going to put this out on the bulletin board, but there is a fundraiser that's being put together for Isabel Fox. And she's had some different health issues. She's, I think, 15 years old. And so they are going to do a fundraiser. The ministerial group is kind of working together at that. So I'll put that information. It's a carnival-style sort of activity. There's different sorts of food and games for the kids and adults alike. And so there will be music as well. Door prizes, possibly, it says. There'll be a silent auction and just a number of things to help and raise funds for this Isabel Fox. So I'll put that information out there, and you can take a look at that. Hope that you'll come. It's going to be April the 22nd. I guess that's maybe the most important thing. April the 22nd, it's going to be at Sangersville Tires, Ruiton Hall, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, okay, are there any other announcements? There's other things here you can look at, and I just kind of highlighted some things I thought were important. Yes, Kenny?
On the kids' Easter breakfast, we're looking for a couple more bags of shredded hash browns and a couple packs of pre-made sausage patties. If anybody's interested in donating a little bit of that, if you are, just get with me after service today. And we have two pots of gravy coming in. I'd like to get one more crock pot of gravy. So if anybody's interested in making a pot of gravy, just get with me, please.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate that. And if you can help with that, see Kenny following the service. Just one other thing, choir practice will happen. We're praying no snow, right? Last Sunday we got snowed out, but this Sunday following service we will have choir practice here in the sanctuary. With the... Yes. Yes, absolutely. Michelle, absolutely. Thanks for the team's work and all of you who donated soup or cookies. I think there's some cookie boxes out there maybe that belong to some people. A few cookies left, but it was really nice. We appreciate all the work that everyone did to make that a success. Thank you, Michelle. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to come to worship and praise you. Lord, on our hearts, Lord, it's just a song of thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus. Lord, he came, he lived among us, and Lord, he took upon our sin, on himself, our sin, Lord. He died upon a cross. And Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for his precious blood that makes us as white as snow, clean of all our sin. And Lord, we just praise in his name. Lift up the name of Jesus here together this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from portions of Philippians chapter 2. It says, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's turn our hymnals, page 105. He is Lord. Page 105.
To walk on earth in ridicule and shame.
I want to share with you just a few prayer requests and praises, and of course take any prayer requests or praises that you would like to share. First of all, would you keep in your prayers the John Kaufman family? John Kaufman traveled with me and several other pastors for many years to annual conference. He was from the Craigsville Church of the Brethren, and he was 90 years old. So he traveled with us young guys. He kind of said I was his chauffeur when we went through the airports and different things. I looked after him, and he had just passed away this past week. So if you would, just keep that Kaufman family in your prayers. And for those that are at Little River Church of the Brethren as well that are saying their farewells now, and we just lift them up in prayer for the loss of John. I'll be sharing kind of a eulogy of John on Monday for his service. I look forward to being a part of that service and just giving us opportunity to give God praise for the good work that he did in John. And that John is now resting peacefully at home with his wife, Mary, who passed away a few years before. But John did a lot of work for Craigsville Church of the Brethren, and we just appreciate all the service that he did and the people that he encouraged in his area to put Jesus first. Also, if you would put on your prayer list Jimmy Ross. Janet shared this morning that he's going to be moving out of the independent living to more of an assisted living now. Jimmy did a lot of work here at the church, especially right before I came. He was serving as an interim here and did a lot of the constitution and bylaw work and really a lot of good things. So we want to keep him in our prayers, especially for this move, and that God would look over him. Janet? Nursing care. Okay, what an assisted living. It's the nursing care. Okay, thank you for correcting me on that, to nursing care. A few years ago, Jimmy had a pretty severe stroke, and he'd been working through that. So we just pray for the strength for him to continue on and for the care that he'll receive there now. Also, if you would put on your prayer list Nancy Bailey. Got word that Nancy had taken a fall and broke her arm. And so I think somewhere between from the shoulder to the elbow, she's kind of broke that big bone there, and she's recovering from that. You know, she just moved from her home here in Mount Solon to a new place in Harrisonburg that she bought. And so unfortunately, she's just had a fall and a break. So if you would, keep her in your prayers. We do have her new address. Maybe we'll try to get that on the bulletin so that people can have that. But she does have a new address there in Harrisonburg. Also, if you would, Sean's last name from Parnassus.
Sean Cook.
Sean Cook. Yes, that's right. Sean Cook. If you would keep Sean Cook in your prayers and his family, especially his dad. Sean Cook's dad is under hospice care now. He got diagnosed just a few weeks ago, I think, with pancreatic cancer. And so this is kind of a pretty sudden and quick thing for the family. I know that Sean is just wanting your prayers and for Parnassus as well as he tries to be there for his dad. Also, would you put Faye Hall on your prayer list? Faye was in the hospital last week. She is now home and doing some better. They're looking forward to the day when they're going to be able to come back to church, but she's just dealt with a lot of different health issues, so please keep her and Ken, her husband, in your prayers, and we're glad that she's home. I think we're going to continue to lift Billy Ware up in our prayers. In April, he's going to have a back surgery, so we're in prayer for him for that. Also, if you would, continue to keep Bambi Dean's grandson, Kyson, in your prayers. They're continuing to seek healing and help for Kyson. He's the son of Courtney and just a young little baby, and so he's going through a lot and needs your prayers. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Pauline? Maybe Pauline will, that's a good thing we'll do, and we'll have you stand here. As Pauline shares, we don't know exactly, maybe just turn around here. We'll just stand right here in the center, Pauline. We don't know exactly what's going on with my dad, Dana. He's been sick for several weeks, and of course it worries all of us, and certainly we want him to be well, and so maybe Pauline will stand in for Dana. He can't be here, but we can have her stand in for him as if we are anointing. Maybe we'll just anoint. And Pauline, we'll anoint Pauline for Dana since he can't be here. It's unscented because it won't bother you. But as Pauline stands here in intercessory for Dana,
praise the Lord. Praise
we pray a healing in the name of the Father.
Yes, Lord, bring us healing.
We pray in the name of the Son.
Dana, Lord, he's been through so much.
In the name of the Holy
and
Spirit.
Lord, he loves you with all his heart.
Let's pray, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up Dana to you right now. Lord, just pray that the doctors and nurses will be able to help Dana. Lord, they've been working. They're doing testing and different things, Lord, to see exactly what's going on. They've had some results, Lord, but we don't know yet what's causing this. Lord, we know you know.
Yes, sir. Right.
And we pray right now for Dana that you would heal him, that you would answer our prayers. Lord, that you would give him answers. Lord, that they would be able to treat what is going on. And Lord, we just pray for healing upon him right now. Thank you for Pauline for being able to come forward and to receive this anointing. But this anointing is not for Pauline, Lord. It's for Dana. And we lift him up in prayer right now. We just pray your Holy Spirit upon him. Pray for strength, Lord. We pray for healing. Lord, we know you hear our prayers as your church cries forth for one in our midst, Lord, that is sick. One that needs healing, one that needs help. Lord, he feels the burden of this sickness upon him. And Lord, we just pray that you take that burden off. You said your burden is light. And Lord, that's what we pray for Dana right now. For Debbie, too, pray lift her up. Be with her as this stress is great on her as well. And Lord, for me and my brother Daniel as well, thank you, Lord, that we have faith that you can get Dana through this. And we just pray healing upon him right now. Lord, we just lift all these things up to your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you,
Danny. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. As a church, that's what we do, don't we?
Amen.
We pray for each other. We lift each other up in prayer. And thank you for every person that came forward to pray for Dana. Okay, with that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that our faith is in someone who can answer prayers. Lord, our faith is not in some dead idol, some graven image, in some piece of wood or some sculpture that can't hear or can't do anything about our prayer requests. Lord, our faith is in the living God. Lord, our faith is in the resurrected Savior. Our faith is in a God who is upon His throne, who created this earth and will one day conquer this earth at your appointed time. Lord, we can have great faith in knowing as we offer our prayers to you, not only for Dana, but all those others lifted up in our prayer requests here this morning, that, Lord, you hear our prayers. You know our hearts. You hear our desires. You hear our needs. And, Lord, you care. You have a heart that cares. And, Lord, we thank you that as we offer these prayers up here this morning to you, that, Lord, you desire to do good. And Lord, to answer our prayers in that way which is perfect. Lord, we trust in you. We seek answered prayers, but Lord, we always trust in your plan. Whatever it may be, Lord, we know that your plan is best. Your will is best, Lord. We submit ourselves to your will in our life. And Lord, we trust in you. Lord, we pray for our offering this morning. Bless the offering, I pray. Bless those that give, I pray. And continue to bless us as a ministry. Lord, as we seek to do your will, to follow your word and your scriptures, to obey your law, your precepts, to apply it to our life, to tell others about Jesus and your love for us. Lord, we pray that we're faithful in that work. Lord, we pray that you continue to speak to our heart. Draw us close to you, I pray, in these latter days. Lord, we know that your coming is soon and close. There's so many issues in our world today, but Lord, we rise above these things because, Lord, you have defeated this world. Even the enemy of this world, Satan, you have slain. Lord, thank you for the victory which we come to find in you and your Son Jesus. And we praise his name here this morning. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Thank you for all those that are working to help with the children. And in your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there in the pew as well. You can look at that. But this is, I've titled it Old Testament Calvary. I said last week that everywhere you look in the Bible, no matter what page you turn to, that it bleeds red. You cut the Bible anywhere, it bleeds red. The blood of Christ. That's because the Bible was written with the purpose to glorify God through His Son, Jesus. And that was the purpose of God's Word from the first page to the last. It was to glorify God through His Son, Jesus. And I don't care where you cut the Bible, it bleeds red. Every page, there's like that thin red line that goes through it and is pointing us towards a Savior who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we see here, even in the Old Testament, that the Scriptures are pointing forward. They're looking forward to that day when Jesus was going to die on Calvary. And that's, of course, what we celebrate at Easter, right? Celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And we see, even in the Old Testament, God was already pointing towards God's plan of salvation and redemption for us. And that's what we're going to look at here in this story in Genesis chapter 22. With Abraham and his son Isaac. And we're going to see what I think is an illustration or a picture in the Old Testament of Calvary and the sacrifice of Jesus that would one day come. And so God wants to glorify Christ. We want to glorify Christ. And that's what this story will do. So we're turning here in the Old Testament in this foretold story of Abraham and Isaac. Now remember, Abraham and his wife Sarah, they could not conceive and bear a child. They wanted to. They desired to for many years. But at some point, they passed the place of where Sarah could conceive. And so she was barren. In fact, she was in her 90s. Maybe she was, I think the Bible said she was 90. When God came to Abraham and Sarah, and he told Abraham that his wife was going to bear a child, that she was going to conceive, that he was going to bless Abraham with this son, Isaac. And so the Bible tells us that at the age of 90, Sarah conceived. Can you imagine that? The Bible even goes to say that she nursed the baby herself. Think of that. 90 years old. She nursed the baby herself. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And it was certainly a miraculous thing here. And this story really, it points us forward, as I've said, and that we can see that Isaac, he was a special son. Now, every son and daughter is special, aren't they? But God had a particular message that he was showing us and telling us through the son Isaac and this story. And I think that we're going to see that today as we look together at this. So our story starts here in verse 1 where Isaac is full grown now. We're not exactly sure what age, but he's not a baby by any means. And we see here in verse 1 that that God is going to test Abraham. Now, some scriptures interpret this as tempt Abraham, but the word would be better translated tested. But God's not trying to tempt Abraham to sin, but he is testing his faith. And so let's look here. We'll see how God tests Abraham's faith. It says, "Now it came to pass," verse 1 here, "after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And they came to the place which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And then verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So here you can already start to see, can't you, this sacrifice kind of reminds you of a sacrifice in the New Testament that God would make. So you can already see this image of Christ and God's son, his only son, being sent to the cross as an offering for us. So what about Isaac? Is this picture of Christ in the Old Testament, this Old Testament Calvary? Well, first of all, I want you to know that Isaac was the first person in the Bible whose birth was prophesied. That is, apart from Jesus himself. But he's really the first person in the Bible who was prophesied that he would be born. In chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, the angel came to Abraham and said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And so he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, this angel said to Abraham, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." So here it is, that before Isaac was ever conceived, before he was ever even thought of, that there was an angel that was proclaiming that Isaac was going to be born. Now, if you think in your minds, when was another time where an angel came down and prophesied and told that someone was going to be born that was special? And we think of Jesus, right? That's what we sing about at Christmas time, about these angels proclaiming the good news that Jesus was going to be conceived and born. And so these two people, notice, they were prophesied well in advance of their birth. Both Isaac and so was Jesus. Both births were promised and prophesied before they were ever born. Now, not only was Isaac foretold that he was going to be born, but notice also Isaac is a miracle birth. He's a miracle birth. It took a miracle, didn't it, for Sarah to conceive and to bear a child at 90 years old. You know, I think 90 in biblical times here is the same 90 as you would feel today. It's not any different. Now, when you get back to before the flood, you see that the times were very different. People lived much longer. But here in this portion of Scripture, post-flood, people were aging just the same as we age today. And so here, this is a miracle birth. Sarah was past this point of being able to conceive. She was past her prime. She had went through the change of life. That means that she was unable really to conceive apart from God doing this miraculous work in Sarah's life. And so we see here that Isaac was a miracle. Well, who else was a miracle birth? Jesus, right? He was a miracle birth as well. That Mary, she conceived when really she wasn't supposed to, right? She knew no man. Bible says that she was conceived through the Holy Spirit that came upon her. And so it was this miraculous or miracle sort of birth that we see in Jesus. Note, all these things are looking forward, aren't they? We read in the story of Isaac, but it's forward looking. It's the picture of Christ that would one day die upon the cross. And so we see Isaac was a miracle birth, so was Christ. Now, there's something else here you notice about Isaac, and that was he was given a special designation by God. And notice here the way that God refers to Isaac. He says, now, verse 2, back up here. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son." Boy, isn't that unique in the way that God refers to Isaac. Now, if you know the history of where we're reading it here, was Isaac Abraham's only son? No, he wasn't Abraham's only son. Remember the whole mishap, or maybe disobedience, with Sarah giving her handmaiden to Abraham because she thought, well, I can't conceive, and so the least I can do is for him to bear children, and I'll give my husband my handmaiden, and that way he'll have descendants. And so we remember this whole issue with Ishmael. But that's not how God refers to Isaac here, is it? Not take your second son, Isaac. No, he says, take your son, your only son, and take him and offer him as an offering. He says this several times in the Scriptures. It's really almost a title or a special designation that God is using here upon Isaac. And even in that, it's forward-looking. How does the Scripture refer to Christ? He's the only Son of God, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. There's the title again. There's that same description being used to describe Jesus. Take your only son, his only son, he says. Go forth and offer him as an offering unto the Lord. And so here we see this connection, this type of Christ can be seen in Isaac. That he was a type of Christ that was to come. And you can find those comparisons there. Now there's other comparisons as well, forward-looking things that are in the details of this story. It says there in verse 2, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. Abraham was supposed to take Isaac to this special place, to a holy place, set aside. You know, Abraham couldn't just take Isaac anywhere and offer him as a burnt offering. You think, well, that's kind of odd, isn't it? Why not just right there where you're at? What's it make a difference where Isaac is offered? It's just the point that God is commanding that he be offered. Well, God had a special place, even a mountain, a mountain range really that was in mind that Abraham was to travel to. He was to go to this specific place. Notice there that God says, I will show you the place. Look at the bottom of verse 2 there. Burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So he was to go. God was going to show him the exact place where Isaac was to be offered as a sacrifice to God. God had picked out this holy spot there on Mount Moriah. And now, let me tell you, I believe, because Mount Moriah, of course, is the same place where David built the temple. Mount Moriah is where you see the Dome of the Rock today. That same mountain range right there, that's Mount Moriah even today. And I believe that right outside of the temple gates, there's a little place there called Golgotha. And that's the exact spot, I believe, where God showed Abraham to go to build an altar right in that location. So think about that. All those years before Christ was ever to go to the cross, God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, born of this miracle birth under these amazing circumstances, held this title of his only son, and they were to go to this specific spot, which I believe is right outside. I believe it's the exact spot where the cross would one day be put in the ground. Isn't that amazing? God was foreshadowing, wasn't he? That his son was going to pay the price one day for our sin. And this place was Golgotha, Mount Moriah, where God would offer this sacrifice, the exact spot where the cross would one day stand. Now, God tells Abraham to take Isaac, his son, there that he promised. Verse 3, he rose up early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Isn't it amazing? He says, we will come back to you. He knows God's promises through his son, Isaac. So he doesn't know exactly how, but one way or the other, even if God had to raise Isaac back from the dead, isn't that interesting how that compares to the New Testament? That God was going to make a way through Isaac to bless all the nations. That's what the promise was. Through Abraham, through Isaac, unto Jacob, that lineage would be blessed and that all the world would be blessed through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Abraham believed, even if he would to raise his son from the dead, that God was going to do something great through the lineage of Isaac. And so we see here, Abraham took the wood, verse 6, burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, took the fire in his hand. Notice here, Isaac spoke to Abraham. He says, Father, you know, where's the lamb at? Where's the lamb at? What are we going to sacrifice, Dad? We're taking all the other things to make a sacrifice. I'm carrying the wood. I got the fire. I got the knife. Where is the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham points out here that God would provide a sacrifice. You know, this story is really out of sorts altogether. Because think about this. God is asking for a human sacrifice here. Which was something only the pagan nations did. This was a pagan thing. Abraham must have known something is off here. God's asking me to do this, but this is what the heathen do. You know, they offer a sacrifice of their children to these gods, and that's not what the children of Israel were to do. In fact, they were forbidden to offer human sacrifice unto God. This was something that was so out of sorts for him. But yet we see here that this was pointing towards that God's own son would die as this acceptable offering unto God. And that's through Christ. Jesus was offered for our sin. God really never had any intentions of Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice. But he was showing us the future that one day God would offer his son as this perfect sacrifice for our sin. And then notice here, God stops Abraham kind of from slaying his son. It feels like as if Abraham is right on the cusp of bringing down the knife upon his son. And then God speaks and says, hold up. You know, Abraham, it's almost as if he's stopping him right at the last minute. Don't do that. Don't offer that. Don't kill your son. Don't put your hand on your son, basically, he says. And so this God was stopping him from doing that. And he was showing us that one day his son would be the one that laid down his life for us. Really, title that Abraham uses here is that God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. That's compound form name of God, Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And that's exactly what God did. He provided. I just noticed there that even as they went up the mountain, notice that Abraham put the wood upon, he laid this wood upon Isaac. Doesn't that remind you of Jesus carrying the cross? Placed upon him the wood. I'm going to be talking at the Lenten service this evening, talking about that march from inside Jerusalem up to Calvary. And upon his shoulders was that wood, that cross that Jesus carried. At one point, Jesus is unable to bear the cross. And Simon of Cyrene steps in to carry this cross. And so we see here, I think the more you look at this story, the more you can just begin to see and realize that this story was put in our scriptures to show us, to prove to us, that God had a plan from the beginning of your salvation. And that plan was that his son was going to take upon himself the cross, that God himself would provide a lamb. And that's what happened, isn't it? As God stopped Abraham, he looked around, and there in the thicket, with his horns caught in this brush, was a ram. Now how? That's, again, just a miracle, right? This wouldn't happen. But yet we see God had placed there a ram that would be the sacrifice. It wasn't his son that needed to die. But it was God providing that sacrifice. You know, I tend to believe that bush that this ram was caught in with its horns was the same type of bush, had thorns in it, that they would one day place upon Christ's head. Think of that. That ram wore a crown of thorns. One day Jesus would wear a crown of thorns, wouldn't he? His head would be with that same sort of thorny bush wrapped around his brow as he went to the cross. God will provide. That's really what the point here is. God will provide himself a lamb. And that's what he did, didn't he? He provided us with the perfect sacrifice. He didn't require us to offer a sacrifice ourselves, but he made himself a sacrifice. And he died upon the cross for us. Isn't that wonderful? Old Testament Calvary. I don't care wherever you turn to in your scriptures, from the Old Testament right up to the New, you're going to see that all along Jesus, or God, was pointing to Jesus and the cross. That our salvation, our eternal assurance, is through him and him alone. And all the blessings and all the good things that we receive come through Christ. All that we have received comes through Christ and his cross. Amen. Aren't we blessed as a people? God had a plan, didn't he? It wasn't just circumstantial that Jesus happened to be in Jerusalem and that he happened to die on a cross and that the story was written that he died for our sins. That's not how God works. Before the world be ever begun, before it was created, God had in his mind that Jesus was to pay the penalty for our sin upon the cross. Boy, doesn't that make you feel good? God loves us, doesn't he? He has a plan for our salvation, always, from the beginning. And that plan was through Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us there upon Calvary. Lord, we can see, even in this Old Testament scripture, all the way back to the very first book of our Bible, to some of the very first stories ever told, that, Lord, you had a plan. And that, Lord, you one day would present to us a Savior. And his name, the sweetest name that we know, is Jesus. Lord, thank you so much for the salvation that we've received through him. Lord, I pray every person here has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that's through whom salvation is given. Through whom salvation is received. It's through our Savior, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray every person here has received him as their Lord and Savior, that they've prayed the sinner's prayer. Lord, I repent of my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner, that I'm in need of being saved. And Lord, that salvation comes through one person and one person alone, and his name is Jesus. And I receive him as my Lord and my Savior, and I turn now in my life to seek to follow him, to be obedient to his word and his Holy Spirit, to follow him with all my life, to trust in him with my eternal future. And Lord, I seek to be a follower of Jesus. I pray that every person has prayed that prayer. Lord, thank you for that perfect Son, the perfect sacrifice that was offered for each one of us. Lord, we praise his name here this morning. We worship and glorify him. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnal now to page 196. There is a fountain, page 196. We'll stand together and share in song. Page 196. Sing first and last.
Yeah.
sing that song of salvation, that nobler, sweeter song, boy, I sure can. I pray you can too. If you have Jesus in your heart, you've received him, listen, you can sing that song, that sweet song of salvation. It's not built on what you do. Notice there, God will provide. It wasn't the sacrifice that Abraham provided. It was what God did through Christ. It's not what you do. You're not out working for your salvation. You're not trying to earn it in some ways. God has paid for it for you. God will provide. He's provided your salvation. All you need to do is receive it. That's how simple it is. Isn't that the sweetest song there ever is? Not that I have to do something, but that I just simply receive it freely. That's the way God gives it to us. That's the way he wants it. And then that transforms our heart. We want to follow. We want to obey. We want to do good things. We want to be obedient to his scriptures. Not because we're earning our salvation, but listen, because we love him. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. He loved you. He provided for you a sacrifice, a Savior. He loves you. Won't you love him in return? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the eternal hope which he gives us. Lord, we don't fear death. We don't fear the grave. Because, Lord, you have overcome the grave. You have exchanged death for life. And death has been swallowed up in life. Because of our Savior Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the eternal life which we have and that future that we will have with him forever and ever and ever. Lord, we praise him here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.